From LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support comes from Vision Zero. On foot or behind the wheel, safety is a shared responsibility. And Vision Zero Louisville believes zero roadway fatalities is the only acceptable amount. Their mission is to create safe roads by design, engineering solutions, and education. More information at visionzerolouisville.org.
So, you still nursing that turkey hangover? I know I am. It was a long one over here. And because of that extended holiday, as it were, I've got something a little bit different for you this week on the guest list. You might remember during our first year recap episode that I featured a live version of This Will Be Our Year by the Zombies that hadn't actually been on the guest list up to that point. It came from our weekly live lunch broadcast here at WFPK, and I just so happened to host it that week. Well, I've had enough folks ask me about the whole thing. It was just about an hour long, after all, that I decided to go ahead and feature it all here today. Now, there's some talking with Colin, Rod, and I, but a lot of it is stuff that I covered with them in my initial guest list interview, which you might well have heard. So that stuff's not integral, but what is the between song banter. Lots of great little gold nuggets in there. So here it is, Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent, The Zombies, live on the guest list. Steer into it.
Thank you very much. I'm Rod Argent, that's Colin Blunstone. We were the two founder members of The Zombies. And we first met in 1961 at our very first rehearsal. And we're going to start off today with, we thought we'd give you something at least at the beginning that you know. So we're going to start with this one.
And if she should tell you, come closer. If she tempts you with a charm, tell her no, 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 no. Don't hurt me now, for her love belongs to me. And if she should tell you I love you, oh. Tempts you with a charm. Tell her no, 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 said that to me.
Tell her no.
Well, that actually came out in 1965, and we're going to move on until last year. And I just have to very quickly tell you that we made a new album because we love doing all the old stuff. We honestly do. We never tire of doing that, but always within the context of being able to energise ourselves and excite ourselves by being able to write new material and present new material to the audiences who continue to respond brilliantly to it. And in October last year, we had a new album out called Still Got That Hunger. And when that album came out, we had a phone call from Billboard magazine in the middle of our tour. And they said, we just wanted you to know that for the first time in 50 years as the Zombies, you've got a record in the top 100 album sales charts. So that's really pretty cool, wasn't it? So we're going to do, you know, just a couple, two or three scattered through the concert today. We're going to start off with the first track on the album called Moving On, and then we're going to give you yet another one called Edge of the Rainbow. So I hope you enjoy these.
I'm moving on like a ship sailing wind blown. It's goodbye to trouble I'm leaving behind. In my life, no more grieving or sorrow. Won't allow the darkness my life to define. I won't cry for the past, for I've refound my freedom at last. I won't shy from the strife. What doesn't kill me won't fill me with life. And I'm moving on to my dreams of tomorrow. Thrilled to be wherever my soul may be bound. Who can tell where the journey may lead me? Who can say where the rainbow may be found? Found my freedom at last. I won't shy from the strife. What doesn't kill me will fill me with life. And I'm moving on to my dreams of tomorrow. Thrilled to be wherever my soul may be bound. Journey may lead me. Who can say where the rainbow may be found? I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on.
Thank you.
And sometimes when you're walking that long, lonely road, seems like nothing
is able to lie low from the edge of the rainbow. You see the light coming through. And sometimes when you're feeling just heartache and pain, and it seems there's nothing outside except the rain, from the edge of the rainbow, you see the light coming through. Into each life some rain must fall. I just know there's too much in mine. You gotta be strong, keep moving on, and know that something bad wait on that down the line. You had so much trouble in mind, but at last that trouble is in its decline. From the edge of the rainbow, you see the light coming through. Into each life some rain must fall. I just know there's too much in mind. You gotta be strong, keep moving on, and know there's something better waiting there down the line. So much trouble in mind, but at last that trouble is in its decline. From the edge of the rainbow, you see the light shining through.
Oh man, oh man, yeah. It's Rod Argent and Colin Blenstone of the Zombies. Again, this week's Live Lunch is made possible by not only contributors and listeners like you here at FPK, but also by Abbey Road on the River at the Belvedere Festival Park and Muhammad Ali Center this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, the 26th through the 30th, featuring performances by over 50 bands, including these gentlemen, the Zombies, and Felix Cavalieri's Rascals. Details and tickets are online at arotr.com. And thanks again to the City Cafe with citywide delivery for any event for providing lunch here for members. One more time, I'll mention next week, Zach Longoria Project will be here. Colin and Rod, you know, you mentioned earlier the genesis of the Zombies, but I've been curious when you first got together and realized that you had an actual band. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I think speaking personally, you know, I thought it was going to be a 2-year adventure, just 2 years fun, you know. That's what I was hoping for. Even when we made our first record, She's Not There, in 1964, I think most people thought that, you know, a rock singer's lifespan would be 2 or 3 years, and that's all I was expecting. To me, it was travelling the world with my pals, singing music I loved. What could be better than that? But I thought it would be 2 or 3 years. And, of course, we got together, first of all, in 1961. So it's actually lasted over 50 years, so I was a little bit out. I was
slightly.
Just, yeah.
Well, what were each of you planning to do after that 2 years?
Well, at what were we, 15, you know, when we got together, we weren't planning after. I was having trouble with today. There were no thoughts of after.
I mean, the thing is that I always wanted to stay in music all my life. I mean, that was the goal for me. And I'm so grateful that we've been able to do that. You know, I still wake up every morning and think, you know, you're so privileged to be a musician and doing something that if you hadn't earned a living all these years doing that, you would have paid to do it. And, you know, it is a pretty privileged position. A lot of my friends from school that I've actually met up with again now, they've all retired. They're all retiring, you know. And you know, as I said, we've got a record in the charts again. I consider us an emerging rock band.
Well, I think that's fair because, you know, when Odyssey and Oracle finally came out and became a success here in the States, the band was gone. And yep. So you finally got a taste of that brass ring.
Yeah. It was a series of coincidences, really. Rod and I worked together off and on from... The band finished in 67. I retired in 67 when I was 22, which is a nice feeling, except I didn't have any work and I didn't have any money. But otherwise, it was a great feeling. But we worked together regularly over the years, Rod usually producing solo albums of mine. But there were other projects we got involved in as well. And then in 1999, I had 6 concerts. And I just said to Rod, do you fancy coming and playing on these 6 concerts? And he said, yeah, I'd love to do the 6 concerts. But that's grown from 1999 to 2016. We had such a ball. We just
and we're
going.
On the 6th at the moment. So.
Well, I mean, in that gap, was there ever a thought that maybe, you know, you guys would get the band back together?
No, never. It was gone. I mean, I think we all in the band, Rod and I and the others, we're always thinking about forward rather than backwards. And when we got back together again, we didn't call ourselves the Zombies for years, but we didn't realize there was such an interest in the Zombies repertoire until we started playing a few Zombie tunes, and then people asked for more and more. So it took about 6 or 7 years for us to say, well, we're playing nearly all Zombie tunes, so we might as well call ourselves the Zombies, you know.
But we resisted that for a while.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we really didn't want to just look backwards. But then we found and we realised ourselves that an awful lot of these songs we'd never played live, ever. So we thought, you know, let's rediscover this one that we never ever played. And we started having real fun doing that. And it felt natural. It didn't feel like we were trying to get out there, you know, just to make a buck or something. We got enthused about it. And coupled with that, what I've already said today about getting excited about being able to write new material and still feeling those creative juices and the energy that comes from being able to make things work, you know, new things work. Hearing new stuff on the radio, it's always the biggest thrill. I mean, it's always great to hear Time of the Season on the radio, but I tell you what, if you hear a track from the new album on the radio, it gives me much more of a thrill, much more of the thrill we had when we first started out and we were 18 years old. So all in all, you know, it worked pretty well.
It's the Zombies here on Live Lunch. I'm going to let these gentlemen get into some more music. We'll talk a little bit more here in a bit, particularly about the new stuff, but you can take it away, guys.
Well, Sean mentioned Odyssey and Oracle. And I'll just very quickly say to you that this is an album that came out in 68, actually, in the UK, probably around that time here, or maybe a little bit later. But nothing happened anywhere. And then Time of the Season became a number one all over the world. But even then, the album didn't really do very much anywhere. It sort of crept into just the very bottom of the top 100 in the US, but that was about it, even with the number one single. And then 10 years later, people like Paul Weller in the UK, when he was the hottest thing, he quoted this as being his favourite album of all time, and that's something he said this year as well. So he still continues to say that. In the last few years, it's made the top 100 albums of all time in Rolling Stone. Many people quote it now. Many young, independent, emerging bands. Almost everywhere we play, there's a group of young bands around the edge of the concert hall. And it sells more every year now than it ever did when it first came out. So it has a very strange story to it. So in the light of that, we're going to do maybe three. Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll do two songs now from Odyssey and then another one in a little bit. We're going to start off with, usually, I mean, if you come and see us on the Abbey Road Festival, you'll see a great full band. Today, they're on their way to the next gig in Nashville, and they've left Colin and me behind, and we're going to have to run really fast to get to Nashville in time. But we would love it. You know, we just do this occasionally, voice and piano things. And we really enjoy it because it enables us to explore things in a way that we don't usually. We're going to do Care of Cell 44, which is the song that Dave Grohl, when he was asked a couple of years ago on Scandinavian TV, they said to him, "Dave, what is the record which changed your life?" in inverted commas. And he said, "Well, if I've got to choose anything, I'm going to choose the first track from the Zombies' Odyssey and Oracle album, and it's called Care of Cell 44. Here we go.
Good morning to you, I hope you're feeling better, baby. Thinking of me while you are far away. Counting the days until they set you free again. Writing this letter, hoping you're okay. Sunday, the one that is warm by sunshine every day, and we'll get to know each other for a second time. Then you can tell me about your prison stay.
Oh,
Thank you so much. That was one of my songs. The guy that wrote half the songs on the album was also a guy called Chris White, and the original bass player of the Zombies. And he wrote some beautiful songs on the album. We're going to do one of them for you now. This has been on lots of TV things. I think it was on the last episode of Mad Men, or almost. And it was also covered by the Foo Fighters on a vinyl album they made a little while ago. It's called This Will Be Our Year.
Sun, and this will be our year. Took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand, now the darkness is gone. And this will be our year. Took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, we've only just begun. And this will be our year. Took a long time to come.
One of the when we got here today, one of the guys from the station said, "Oh God, I love on your new album. I love this track. I Want You Back Again," and we've been playing it. So that's really lovely. It's actually the one track on the album, on the new album, Still Got That Hunger, that is an old song, but it's one of those ones, as I said to you, that we'd never played live ever. And when we started playing it on stage, it started seating itself in a way that stuff only does when you play it live quite a few times. And it developed to the stage. It was still very, very true to the original, but it developed in certain ways. And we thought, we've got to record this like this because we just love playing it so much and it was going down so well. It's normally, obviously, with a full band and rhythm section. It's quite jazzy in places. And I hope we can make it work just with the voice and piano, but we'll do our best. This is I Want You Back Again. So we added this, actually, when I heard that from the guy. I said, yeah, let's try a live version. So here we go.
Somebody help me. I have got to eat. Somebody help me. Stand on my feet. I want you back again. Oh, I want you back again. Since you have left me, I'm alone, and I need your help. I want you back again. Oh, left me here. I'm alone. Now I need your help. I can't stand on my own.
I want you back again.
Oh, I want you back again.
I don't know if you guys knew, but these dudes are pretty good performers.
Yeah.
If it wasn't obvious before, I think it's pretty obvious now.
Want them back again.
Well, it's good, because you'll get them back again here in just a minute. I'm Sean Cannon, filling in for Laura Shine here on Live Lunch today with Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent of The Zombies. They are here this weekend for Abbey Road on the River. And I did want to talk a little bit more about... Your emerging career, as you mentioned earlier. You know, when you guys got back together and then finally decided to use the name, The Zombies, did you think at any point that you'd make new music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but first of all, it was just for the buzz of playing. It really was. And the first couple of times we came over to the States, it really was in a break-even capacity, and we had to capitalise the whole tour before we came over, which luckily, from the royalties that we've got from some of the old stuff, it, you know, it gives you that luxury and that freedom of being able to have a little bit of a financial cushion, because these things never stop being played around the world, which is absolutely fantastic, because for me, I think the greatest thing about any sort of money is freedom. It gives you the freedom to do what you want to do. When we first got back together, we didn't think about it. As I said, we gradually started to embrace the Zombies canon. We started to write new material just to try it out. Because, do you know what? When we first started playing, it felt as if we'd been on the road 2 weeks before. It honestly did. It completely took me by surprise. It felt like, yeah, we've had a couple of weeks off, you know, now we should get back together and do it. And first of all, we just tried things in the studio. I feel, though, that this last album is the first one, really, where we've gone back to a very old way of recording, just because the band's so hot on stage, and it's a privilege to play in front of them every night. And we enjoy that so much that we thought we're going to try and make an album like that, in the old way of... when we only had four tracks, there was only one thing you could do. You had to play together, and you had to capture the performance. And we thought, let's use every bit of modern technology, but we'll all play together in the same room. And our first idea was that we should get all the guys together in the same room so that everyone listens to each other, which they do. They're great at doing that anyway. Have Colin sing the guide vocals, so we're reacting to a performance going on. And we thought, okay, we'll spend the second week just really honing in on the vocal and, you know, getting as many takes as it takes to get the best out of it. And equally with the solos. We'll do the solos in the studio, but we'll come back and revisit them the following week. It worked so beautifully, that whole idea of working on a track and then finding that moment when it comes together and just capturing that performance. All the guide vocals turned out to be master vocals, and even the solos we didn't revisit the following week. So we had an overdub week the following week, and we spent it all on working out backing vocals and harmonies, and it was lovely to have the luxury of doing that. But the actual meat of the performance, and we almost overdubbed nothing. There were one or two little percussion overdubs and there were one or two little things going on, but it means that everything on the album we can just go out and perform. And it was so great doing it like that. And it was just like we used to in the old days. We had to go in the old days and do a track in 3 hours. We were doing the same thing. And I really feel we got the best of both worlds.
You know, that's so interesting, specifically because, you know, back when you guys first started, that was sort of par for the course. That's kind of what everybody did. That happens so rarely nowadays. Like, very, very seldom does a band go in and basically come out with the exact same thing they started with.
Well, that's right. I mean, but it was a conscious decision on our part to, in effect, we were recording a live album in a studio environment. We took the precaution of rehearsing extensively before we went into the studio. So we weren't looking for arrangements when we got into the studio. The arrangements were set. The keys were set. We were just looking for the performance. It's a great way to record because it's really exciting. And actually, I think most of us found it easier to record like that rather than to record in layers, where often one performer goes in at a time and puts down his contribution to the record. I think it's much easier to record all together.
Well, and that's also the case specifically, though, when a band feels like a band, you know, like when you're together.
Yeah, and our band has, you know, this is not Colin and me with backing musicians. This is a band. And in fact, the guy that was on our very, very first rehearsal, in fact, the first guy I ever asked to be in the band was my cousin, the bass player, Jim Rodford. He was in the top local group. He's 4 years older than me. He's still playing his backside off. He's fantastic. He said no at the time because he was in the top local group. We were just starting out, but he loaned us all their gear. They were called the Blue Tones at the time. Loaned us all the gear, and for a while we thought we were pretty hot when we had a full set of professional gear, and then suddenly we had to make do with, you know, the few bits that we had. He became founder member with me of Argent, my second band, that had a huge hit with Hold Your Head Up and one or two other things as well. And then after that, for 18 years, he was bass player with the Kinks on their biggest ever selling album in the States. So he's still a great player. And his son on drums, so it's a real family thing. And a new recruit who's actually been with us for 6 years now, but a great guitarist, Tom Toomey. So we really feel we've got a unit, and we treat everything as a band, and everybody stays together, everyone shares in what goes on. And it's not, you know, two original members with a backing band. It really isn't that. And we wanted to capture that on an album. And that's the joy of having a band in that way, I think.
Well, it's also, that's inspiring because so many bands that have been around as long as you guys have and been around the block as many times as you guys have, record records mainly to make a few bucks.
Yeah.
You know, so it wouldn't be surprising if it was the Zombies play the Zombies and you just do re-recorded versions of your greatest hits.
Well, we don't look down on that, but it's just not for us. It's not where we get our, you know, you've only got one life. And if you get to the end of it and you think, I've just spent the last 20 years going through the motions, what's the point?
That's really, yeah. You know, it's easy to get jaded in life in general and in the music industry when you've been around for that long. So that's incredibly moving to hear that from you. I'm going to let you guys play some more music. I'm here with Colin Blunstone and Rod Argent of The Zombies. They're going to be at Abbey Road on the River this weekend. Take it away.
Well, I did promise you one more song from Odyssey and Oracle, and this is it.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy. Let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun to promised lands, to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for loving. What's your name? Who's your daddy? Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time to show you what you need to live? Tell it to me slowly. Tell your wife. Thank you.
What's your name? Is your daddy? Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time to show you what you need to live? Tell it to me slowly. Tell your why. I really want to know. It's the time of the season for loving.
Well, I think in this lovely hour that the radio has given us, we've probably got time for another couple. The first one is a song that was written for our very first recording session. It was actually the second song I ever wrote. And thank God, I mean, with the naivety and arrogance that you always have when you're young, and you only have once when you're sort of 18 years old, you can't see any pitfalls. You don't know anything that can go wrong. I thought, yeah, I can write a song that's, you know, as good as the Beatles, and it's gonna go to number one everywhere, and Colin's gonna sound great singing it, and it's gonna sound great on the record, and it's gonna come out and be a hit everywhere. And it was, which was ridiculous, really. And we very soon came down to earth when we found later on things didn't always quite work out that way. But we were very, very lucky with our timing. We were lucky to have such a great voice in Colin. He's always cursed me for this all my life. I've always written in high keys for Colin because I know that he's got a really great high voice. In fact, the story on the... Sorry, I'm just checking the time here. The story on our first rehearsal was that I was going to be the lead singer. Colin was the rhythm guitarist. I met him on the first rehearsal. And we went through a couple of instrumentals because this was before the Beatles. And at the time, it was Cliff Richard and the Shadows was the big thing in the UK. And the Shadows, great instrumental group. So we were doing instrumentals. And then we tried a couple of vocals. And then in the first coffee break, I went over to the piano and played, Nut Rocker by Bee Bumble and the Stingers. And Colin raced over to me and said, "My God," he said, "you've got to play piano in the band." I said, "Well, no, it's a guitar band, isn't it? I'm not sure about this at all, you know. This is not what I had in my mind." And then a bit confused. And then at the next coffee break, Colin picked up a guitar and started singing a Ricky Nelson song. We're not quite sure. It's probably It's Late or... Poor Little Fool or something. And I thought, he sounds fantastic. And I went over to him and said, "Look, okay, I will play piano. You be the lead singer." And we all moved round in the first rehearsal. So I wrote this really high thing, which meant that when it was a hit, poor Colin, sometimes on morning radio stations, would have to play, you know, "Let me tell you about the way..." He used to curse me every single time.
Like today.
Well, it's a bit later today. Sometimes it was 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. But anyway, we're going to play that for you now. This is the first big hit we had, which is called She's Not There.
No one told me about her the way she lied. No one told me
about her. How many people cry? But it's too late to say I'm sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there.
Thank you very much. It's been a real joy playing for you. And we're going to finish up with the very first thing we ever recorded. This is by a great American composer called George Gershwin. And I was freak calling out when we do these piano and voice things, because I start experimenting with the chords and he thinks, where the hell am I? But, you know, you have to do these things. You have to enjoy yourself when you do piano and voice. So here we go with a version that's never been heard before in one way or another. Of Summertime.
It's summertime. Your dad is dressed, your mama's good looking, so hush, pretty baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings you're gonna wake up singing. To the sky, but till that morning, there ain't nothing gonna harm you. With your mom and daddy, they're standing by. Thank you. time, and living is easy. Covenants are hard, and living is hard. Your dad is rich, and your mama's good looking.
Support comes from Vision Zero. On foot or behind the wheel, safety is a shared responsibility. And Vision Zero Louisville believes zero roadway fatalities is the only acceptable amount. Their mission is to create safe roads by design, engineering solutions, and education. More information at visionzerolouisville.org.